Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning. Welcome to Focus on Albany. I'm Cynthia Pooler, and my guest today is Edwin Black. And Edwin wrote this really phenomenal book called IBM and the Holocaust. And in the book, he spells out how the CEO of IBM was complicit in helping Adolf Hitler carry out his mass extermination of Jewish people in Europe. So, Edwin, it's such a pleasure to talk to you today. How are you?
I'm fine, and thank you for having me. I'm Focus on Albany.
Thank you. So, tell us a little bit about what got you interested in this particular subject, and, you know, tell our listening audience who Thomas Watson was and, you know, his rationale for doing what he did.
Thomas Watson, well, let me back up. I originally became interested in this topic when I, the story is well known, when I happened upon a IBM punch card machine in the first exhibit that you see when you go through the massive United States Holocaust Museum in Washington, D.C. I was actually there with my parents, who are both Holocaust survivors. And we were quite confused, and they didn't understand what IBM, which was associated with computers, had to do with the Holocaust, which occurred long before computers were developed. So I made it my mission to discover exactly what happened and what the purpose of this machine was. And I found out it was only one of 2,000 machines and many millions and millions of punch cards that were provided by IBM to facilitate all six phases of the Holocaust: the identification of the Jews, their exclusion from society, the confiscation of their assets, ghettoization, deportation, and even extermination. And all of this was done knowingly by the Nazi, by IBM, with custom-made programs. Each one was designed to provide a solution. And IBM even then billed itself as the solutions company, and there was no solution they were unwilling to give, including the final solution. And I wondered how this relationship, which spanned from the very first days of the Third Reich on January 30th, 1933, to the very last moments of the demise of the Nazi regime in Berlin in May of 1945. How did this develop? And I realized it was all under the micromanagement of Thomas J. Watson, its president. And so you've asked, who was Thomas J. Watson? Why did he initiate? Why did he micromanage? Why did he accelerate and propel, despite all the world's knowledge that the Nazis were murdering Jews and murdering Europeans? Why did he do this? And the answer to your question is Thomas J. Watson was a sociopath, a war criminal, and a convicted criminal in the United States, of course, before he ever became enlisted at IBM. Thomas J. Watson, when I say was a sociopath, the old word was psychopath. A sociopath can't tell the difference between right and wrong, in the same way that a colorblind person cannot tell the difference between blue and green, and a tone-deaf person could not comprehend the difference between an A note and a D note. Well, Thomas Watson could not differentiate between right and wrong, and he was a convicted extortionist for National Cash Register Company before he ever was hired by what became the IBM company, International Business Machines. He received a 1% cut of all the work and profits that his subsidiaries around the world made by working with the Nazi regime, whether that was in Holland, in Germany, in Poland, in France, which was bifurcated, whether it was Spain, Sweden, because they also used certain neutrals as intermediaries. And Thomas J. Watson had an interest in doing this, and all he saw really was his desire to accomplish a goal, and the goal was the making of money, and that goal would propel itself despite any genocide, despite any criminality, despite any economic plunder, territorial conquest. And it allows us to understand that Thomas Watson was not actually an anti-Semite. It was not anti-Semitism or love of National Socialism that drove Thomas Watson. It was always about the money. And he was not an anti-Semite when he established approved the programs that would identify the Jews and even number them in the concentration camps. He was not anti-Polish when he approved a Polish subsidiary for IBM established under his own name called Watson Business Machines in 1939 when the Nazis, after the Blitzkrieg, began the rape of Poland. He was not anti-Dutch when he ordered a subsidiary named for himself to go into to Holland just before the Nazis invaded and ultimately devised the systems that captured Anne Frank and sent her to the death camps. Nor was he anti-American when he allowed his own machinery and took the money for it to develop the V rockets that were targeting Lower Manhattan. The man was simply a sociopathic war criminal. And I realize that now he's being resurrected as some kind of a game show device or as the solution to our planet's problems with the Watson supercomputer. But the fact of the matter is that we are now naming a supercomputer and idolizing a game show apparatus, which was named for a man who is fundamentally tied to the scope and size of the Holocaust, a man who enabled Nazi Germany to wage war against all of Europe, a man who received memos that said it was IBM that put the Blitz in Blitzkrieg and allowed the Nazis to wage organized and highly synchronized war. It was Thomas Watson who received the first award of the German Eagle from Adolf Hitler in Berlin as the most outstanding foreigner who had contributed to the work of the Third Reich. This is the man who is now idolized on game shows and in the hope to solve our problems, a man whose very name is synonymous with mass murder for those who have taken the time to understand it.
Now, ultimately, how much money did he make doing all this?
It's hard to know how much money he and IBM made from their Nazi ventures because during this time, while the Nazi project was the second most important project in the IBM business portfolio right after Social Security Administration, and while it was their number one overseas operation, they kept that information simply off the books. But we do know that the Nazi subsidiary known as Dahomag did not go the way of other Nazi companies. And it was simply renamed after World War II as IBM Germany. The IBM Germany that you see today is the same unaltered company that it was back when it was helping Adolf Hitler invade countries, persecute minorities, commit industrial-level genocide, and wreak havoc across the world, all with the willing participation of Thomas J. Watson.
Now, one of the things that really astounded me about your book was the fact that public opinion, world opinion, was turning against Hitler and the Nazis. Watson was going to dinner, was going to, I believe, the White House to meet Franklin Delano Roosevelt. How did that come about?
Well, Thomas J. Watson, the book, and I believe there's material on the website at IBMandtheHolocaust.com that supports, that will show this without reading the book, but Thomas J. Watson was a huge supporter of FDR. At one point, he was himself spoken of in a presidential fashion that perhaps he might run for president or vice president. Thomas J. Watson commonly wrote letters to FDR every time he went to Germany, which was about once or twice a year, to oversee his operation. The White House was completely aware of all that Thomas Watson was doing. And in fact, the United States Commerce Department and its commercial attachés, rather, from the State Department would be a better way to say it, were the postman for IBM activities in Nazi-dominated Europe, and communications were secreted across the border in diplomatic pouches. So there's no question that Thomas Watson was doing what he was doing in terms of visiting Germany and having a giant banquet upon his coronation by Adolf Hitler as a great friend of the Third Reich in 1936. There's no question that the White House was kept well informed.
Wow. So the lessons for America today would be what? What would you say?
Well, the lesson for America today is when we say never again, we should really understand that never again also means that never again should we allow an American corporation to use its muscle and its innovation and its technical prowess and its political connections to wage war and to help others wage war against innocent civilians.
Edwin? Thank you so much for being on Focus on Albany. If anybody is listening, go ahead.
And thank you for having me.
Oh, you know, if anybody wants to buy your book, how could they do so?
Anyone can go to Amazon and find the book. It still sells daily. It's in 200 countries. So Amazon, anywhere in the world, will sell the book and or the audio tape.
Thank you so much, Edwin. If you like the show and you have a comment or criticism about Edwin Black being on Focus on Albany, please go to Twitter, use the hashtag Focus on Albany, and share your thoughts. Edwin, thank you so much. Have a good day. Happy New Year.
And thank you as well.
Bye.